All right. Praise the Lord. Great to see y'all here this evening. Welcome those of us that are here and those of us that are online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Revelation song with Holy, Holy, Holy.
Mystery.
Praise the Lord, right?
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia. Majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise. Majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare my praise to you. I will worship you. I will worship you. We
Praise the Lord.
shackled by a heavy burden. Neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He to his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know we have at least one pick of him this evening. What was that number? 762. Let me see what page number that, or what it is. 762. What a day that will be on 762. All right.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a day that will be. Yes, sir. Any other pick of hymns this evening? Oh, all right. Well, praise the Lord. 330? Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, 330? Sounds familiar. Are you washing the blood? Oh, yeah, we definitely have that one. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? And are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. Amen. It's playing. It's playing again. Reprise. Reprise. Encore. Encore. Amen. All right. All right. Prayer needs tonight. I've got yours. I've got mine. Anybody else have a prayer need? Anybody got praise? What's your prayer, girl? Justin. Justin's got a vitamin D deficiency, which we think is attributing to all his stress fractures below his knees and his legs, lower legs. Vitamin D. That's easy fix. Take that multivitamin. Amen. Yeah, vitamin D. All right, deficiency. Deficiency. What else? Other prayer needs? Yes, ma'am.
I've been really following that story.
Amen. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is when you have a mental problem, you're in a mental health crisis,
yeah,
and you're over 18, the law is not concerned.
Wow.
I mean, I hate to put it like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my heart breaks for her and her family. She's been out there missing
since
13 days.
Yeah.
No food, no water, no medication.
Right.
She doesn't even know where she's at. She's been lost even in this area. She thought she was in Austin.
That's right.
And she was here. And my heart is just burdened because she's somebody's daughter,
somebody's sister.
Daughter.
Yeah,
she needs help.
Here. Amen.
And I've been following the story, and they're a really nice Christian family.
Yes.
And I just would like to lift them all up. And I just pray that the Lord would put someone in that girl's path that's been following her story and knows the need for her to be found.
Amen.
And for her to be found safe.
Amen.
And for people to be kind to her.
Amen. Boy,
no
that's
judgment.
Our prayer. That's our prayer. That's what we've been praying. Anything else? What else out there tonight?
Well, I got to praise Brother Lee.
Yeah.
Barbara Manning is moving around progress and gaining strength in her legs.
Amen.
They've got her off the respirator, and she's able to swallow food on her own now. So
that's great.
Hopefully with the solid food that
yeah.
she can start gaining strength.
So she's really recovering now.
Yes, sir.
How long has it been, Brother John? It's been a while.
It's been about 4 months, sir.
Yeah, it's been a haul for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great praise. All right. What else? Other praises, prayer requests. What you got, buddy?
I got a praise. The colleague we've been praying for at the college, Arnaldo Flores, I found out in our meeting yesterday that he's doing much better, and he's going to start joining us, at least in cyberspace, for about 4 hours a day, kind of to ease back into it. And yeah, we've already seen him in chat, and he's already been helping us a little bit. You know, praise the Lord that he is on the mend.
Is he cancer free?
I don't know, but I know he's doing treatments at least.
Okay.
What he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's taking cancer treatments.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's doing better.
Yeah, and he said, thank you very much for the prayers.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God that Terry made it back from Mexico.
Terry made it back from Mexico. And
looking forward to her report Sunday night.
Well, not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
She texted me this morning and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. You guys are stuck with me Sunday night again.
Wah,
wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. That's what, no, she said she'd made a previous commitment with her daughter up in Fort Worth to babysit kids, her grandkids.
Yeah.
So you know, what do you tell a grandmother, man? Go
yeah.
enjoy your grandkids,
yeah,
man.
Right.
we'll hopefully get her the following Sunday night. Amen. But Terry did make it back from Mexico safely.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right. Anything else? Praises, prayers. Okay. All right. Well, I'll pray for us tonight. Amen. Is that good?
Amen.
All right. Let's do it. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. We do thank you for these praises tonight. We thank you, Lord, that Barbara Manning is making a recovery from her stroke. And Lord, we know it's been a long haul for her. We continue to pray for her that she make more progress and more progress. And Lord, you just bring her back to her full self. And so Lord, we continue to pray for her, but we do thank you for the update and the praise report. And we're blessed to hear it tonight. And then Arnaldo, Jeremiah's co-worker and friend. Lord, we're thankful that he's able to receive cancer treatments, and sounds like from the report that they are doing some kind of good as he's able to work. So, Lord, we pray that you would rid his body from this cancer, but we're thankful that he's able to contribute, and, Lord, feel like he's doing some good there at his job. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help him, even undergoing these treatments, you would help him able to transition back to the workforce there at Lone Star and be there on site. So, Lord, we lift him up. We're thankful for this praise. And, Lord, we just pray you continue to heal him. We are thankful, Lord, that Terry was returned safely to us from Mexico from this shorter mission trip. We're looking forward to that mission report from there and the other place that she went in Africa. But we're looking forward to seeing those pictures and hearing those testimonies. Be with her as she travels to Fort Worth to babysit her children. this coming weekend. We just pray you watch over her, just bring her back safe to us, and just be with her, Lord. We continue to pray for Sid Fancher, Frank's friend, as he seeks recovery from his stroke. And Lord, we pray in that you might undergird this man and strengthen him and bring healing to his mind and to his body. And Lord, if it be thy perfect will, he be able to get up and Lord, have that therapy and just get sharper with his mind, able to talk better. Lord, we know it can happen. Barbara Manning is a testimony of that. So Lord, we just pray in that it might happen for Sid Fancher. We pray for his daughters. We pray for his extended family. Lord, as they try to make plans for him for rehabilitation and recovery, we pray you bring all those details together. We lift up Larry Field to you tonight, my father-in-law. We pray for his surgery in the morning, his carotid artery surgery. And Lord, we pray that you would bring him through the anesthesia and allow that surgery to be a success. Guide the hands of that surgeon, and Lord, just be with all those surgical techs and nurses and everything operating on him. We pray you bring him through that as well. And then Justin, Lord, we continue to pray for Justin. And we pray that these stress fractures in his lower legs would mend. They would mend quickly, Lord. There would not be any kind of lingering, nagging, chronic pain. And Lord, we pray this vitamin D deficiency, Lord, as his body catches up on that, that Lord, there would be no more occurrences of these stress fractures. He'd be able to complete his run. And Lord, he would be ready to graduate that boot camp there for the Navy. So we lift him up. We pray your healing hand upon him, Lord. We pray you help him. And then, Lord, as we have been praying for Kay Turner, we pray for that family. We pray that you encourage them, support them. Lord, help them. Give them wisdom and discernment on where to look, how to search, all those things. And then, Lord, we pray for this young lady in this mental health crisis. We pray you might, in the midst of everything, Lord, you might give her an hour, 2 hours of clarity and focus that she might reach out for help. Let somebody know where she's at. Lord, we are praying for her protection. We're praying for her deliverance. Lord, we're praying that you might get her back to her family. And Lord, as we prayed last time, we continue to pray again that those who do discover her, we pray they'd be kind people, Christian people, Lord, good people that wouldn't take advantage of her. We pray that she'd be spared from any kind of abuse or exploitation, that God, you would just get her back safely. We pray right now it would happen this very hour, Lord, perhaps this very evening, that there'd be a breakthrough in her missing person request, and that, Lord, she'd be found by the close of the week. So, Lord, we know you still do miracles, and, Lord, we laying one before you and asking for one. So, Lord, we pray on behalf of Kaylana and her family that she be found and that she be found safe and sound. Lord, we continue to pray for our country. We lift up our government, Lord. We pray for our troops. We pray for the geopolitical situation with Russia and China and Ukraine and everything going on, Lord, in the midst of all that. Our own political turmoil here in our country. With our former president, just everything's a mess, seems like. Lord, we pray that you would bring some kind of clarity and some kind of restitution. And, Lord, just may your will be done in Washington. Somehow, some way, God, may your will be done. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. We pray for these high schools that have experienced shootings. Two in Texas, one in Colorado now. Just heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, hard to hear, difficult, Lord. We pray you would comfort those folks. And, Lord, we pray that there would be a sense of peace and a sense of respecting each other's lives, and that kids who are tempted and kids that are thinking about taking firearms to school, that, Lord, somehow, some way, they would not. They would leave those things. They would leave those things in the where they need to be left, and that's not anywhere near their school. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you as well. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. We pray that as we get into it, we're able to glean some things out of it. And so, Lord, we just love you for it. It's It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, we're in Leviticus, and we're going to try to finish chapter 11 up tonight. We'll see how we go. Our passage, you don't necessarily have to stand and for the reading of this. I mean, we're Bible studying tonight. But chapter 11, verses 41 through 47. Chapter 11, Leviticus 11. Those of you with us online, good to have you as always. And I'm always amazed how many views these Wednesday nights services get after the fact. It's amazing. I don't know if there's somebody out there sending links or whatever, but those of you that watch us online, it's always a blessing to have you with us. All right, Leviticus 11, did you find it? All right, let's make a run at it here tonight. It says, beginning in verse 41, now every swarming thing that swarms on the earth is detestable, not to be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever walks on all fours, whatever has many feet in respect to every swarming thing that swarms on the earth, you shall not eat them, for they are detestable. Do not render yourselves detestable through any of the swarming things that swarm, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with them so that you become unclean. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. For I, did your Bible say, for I am holy? You got that in your Bible? For I am holy, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the law regarding the animal and the bird and every living thing that moves in the waters and everything that swarms on the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the edible creature and the creature which is not to be eaten. Right? Amen? So we finished it, chapter 11, 41 through 47. Last time we talked, we said cleanness and uncleanness in terms of food was what distinguished a Jew from a Gentile. We were talking about that on Sunday night. We said in the New Testament, we find chapters like Colossians chapter 2, which says these practices which have to do with external things have no value in overcoming the struggle with the flesh. Why were we saying that? Because that is overcoming the flesh is an internal issue that is worked out in part, not an external issue handled by these kinds of prohibitions. We said in the Old Testament, the struggle forced them, the Jewish folks, to distinguish themselves from other nations. For those kinds of food stipulations meant that an Israelite could not have real intimate interaction with a Gentile, because back in the day, back then, back in Old Testament times, that most often came around a dinner table. So if you did not eat with Gentiles, you did not have the intimacy of communion that you would have had otherwise. And we continue to share. Remember that when the Israelites started eating and drinking and making merry with the Canaanites, they did what? That's when they started intermarrying with them, right? So they kind of let their guard down. They knew they weren't supposed to do it, but man, they liked the food, and so they started partaking of the food, started, hey man, well, you know, let's get together, let's get our families together, and God said don't do that, and made everybody mad, made God mad, and all that jazz. But the food regulations distinguished them as a people. It identified them with God as His people. It reminded them of the principle of election, that God is the one who defines what is clean and unclean. Amen? And so the food regulations forced the Israelite to be meticulous about everything they did, because they realized how easy it was to become contaminated under the laws of cleanness and uncleanness. Now, as we think about it tonight, what does all this food regulation stuff mean to the New Testament saint? That's me and you. Here we are in the church age. What does that mean for us? Well, when we're looking at the change of God's law with regard to a kind of food, it's often a signal that we're dealing with a change of, I'm going to throw a theological word out there. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. It's often a signal that we're dealing with a change of what is called dispensation. Anybody ever heard that word? Dispensation? Frank's heard it. Anybody else? All right. You? No? Yes? Yes? Dispensation. All right. Dispensation. What in the world is dispensation? Dispensation. There are distinctions with the way God has dealt with men in this dispensation versus this dispensation over here. It's kind of how God interacts with humanity, right? Now, what happens in Genesis 1? In Genesis 1, when God creates all those creatures and he makes man in his own image, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. Genesis 1, 29 and 30, those with me online, it says, "Then God said, Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so." Genesis 1, 29 through 30. When God started creation, everybody was vegetarian. Everybody, including the animals. Now, you want to be a vegetarian today? You go for it. I like me some protein. I'm sorry. I like me a little meat. Okay? You want to eat all plant? You eat all plant. And in Genesis 3, when we get to Genesis 3, what was the test? The test was food, right? It was food. The test was food. Whatever you ate or did not eat of the particular food that was on the tree of good and evil, they weren't supposed to eat of that, right? And they did. And after the sacrifices are made by Noah of the clean animals in Genesis 8, then God blessed Noah. And in Genesis chapter 9, verses 3 through 4, listen to this. It says, "Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you." We're not eating plants anymore now. You can have your bread and your protein. Woohoo! You can have your legumes and your chicken. Amen? "Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall..." What's the one stipulation? "Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." So, we see even in Genesis that there are changes in dispensation because God is now giving not only just the green plants to eat, but he has given meat to eat. The one stipulation was that meat had to be killed in such a way that the blood was drained from it. And then we get all the way to where we're at in the Mosaic Law in Exodus and in Leviticus. We see restrictions that bear upon the way in which Israel eats. And then we get all the way to the New Testament. In the New Testament, what is the basic issue among the strong, unbelieving Jewish element? What's the unbelieving Jewish element? That's the publicans, that's the scribes, that's the Pharisees, the Sadducees. What do they say about Jesus? Man, they say, Jesus, he eats with unwashed hands. Jesus and his disciples, they eat with Gentiles. Jesus, he's eating with sinners. He does not maintain the distinctions between clean and unclean. Well, what does the New Testament say? The New Testament says those things do not matter anymore. Who made that decision? Almighty God. Romans chapter 14, 20 says, "Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense." Now, based on this passage, Romans chapter 14, based on this passage and others like it, we can make the case that a new dispensation, or how God deals with humanity, has now begun somewhere there in the New Testament. The New Testament signals that God has done something new in fulfilling what he said he would do in the Old Testament. Amen? So whenever God prescribes something new to eat, he's doing it in relationship to some kind of a covenant. He's doing it in relationship to a change that bears upon his relationship with men. Now, food is often the test today, whether a certain kind of food was eaten or not eaten was a critical issue in the New Testament, not only in the issue between Jews and Gentiles, but it was also the issue that had to do with Gentile Christians who were going to eat at the home of a pagan neighbor. In the Old Testament, ignorance was never bliss. You've heard the saying, ignorance is bliss. I just don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss. You've heard that saying, yes? Amen? Right? In the Old Testament, ignorance was never bliss, right? Because the sacrifice for the sin and the guilt offerings were for sins you didn't know that you committed at the time, right? You may have sat down at your neighbor's table. You knew you probably wasn't supposed to be there, but you sat down at their table and you're chit-chatting with them and they bring out some stew and you look at that stew and it looks all right to you and they said, would you like some? Well, of course, you're hungry. You've been doing chores all day, and you've not got your food prepared yet for evening meal. And you say, well, I'll take some beef stew, right? And they don't really hear that. They just bring you the stew. And you begin to eat some of that, and you figure out, I'm not chewing beef. And you go, is this beef stew? And they go, no, that's pig stew. And you go, oh. Then you were a sinner in the midst of that based on the Old Testament law, and then you have to take care of it, right? That's the sin and the guilt offering we've studied. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, praise the Lord, you're living in the church age, right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 27 and 30, he says, if one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, this is what Paul says. Eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, and I got a discount on it down at the pagan temple, he says, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean, this is what Paul says, I mean not your conscience, but the other man's, for why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? See, when we get to the New Testament and the issue of whether or not a Christian ought to eat this meat or not eat the meat, it's not a black and white issue. It's not a black and white issue. This is not a matter of yes or no with no in between. This now becomes a matter of personal conviction. Anybody got any convictions that are personal? I do. Do you have some personal convictions? I've got some personal convictions, right? The Christian, in the midst of idol meat, may eat it freely, knowing that God has given him all things to eat. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. However, there are others who have a different take on the matter. And if they cannot eat in good conscience, they should not eat. However, if I can eat in good conscience, but I cause a weaker brother to go ahead and eat and defile his or her conscience, then it is a sin, right? Let me give you the big application here. The Old Testament did not leave room for convictions, right? Whereas the New Testament does. Praise the Lord for that. So what makes the difference? The difference, why you get to have convictions, why there is talk about convictions. What makes the difference? The difference is the work of God that is written in our hearts. Right? I mean, if you're saved, your spirit has come to life. Amen? And what's the difference between me being saved in the New Testament and me being saved in the Old Testament? I mean, I'm looking back to the cross in the church age or New Testament times. In the Old Testament, I'm looking forward to the cross. What makes the difference? The difference is the work of the Spirit, the work of the person of the Holy Spirit that is inside us, that guides us as we make those kinds of decisions. Now, as we kind of close this out, there are two primary motivations that we ought to take note of, that we ought to take to heart. Two primary motivations which the Old Testament saints also evidence. So even though we're different in the New Testament because we've had Pentecost, we've got a helper in us, the Holy Spirit. In them, not so much. The Spirit of God still moved in the Old Testament, but not like it moves in the New Testament, right? The presence of God was over the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. The presence of God is right here in the New Testament, right? So, even though there's some differences, there are some similarities. And what do you mean by that? Well, there are two primary motivations that we ought to take note of or take evidence, which the Old Testament saints also evidence. And that is, number one, loving God. Two things we ought to take evidence. The first one is loving God. If God's distinctions between clean and unclean are arbitrary, then there are no good reasons for obeying Him other than that He is God. And so we have a choice to make. The decision is based not on whether something makes sense, but on who God is. On who God is. It's as though a young man, were dating a beautiful lady that he was smitten by, and they go to the restaurant, and his mind is already focused on the liver and onions. And she looks at the menu, and she sees liver and onions is the special. And she begins to talk about how gross that is and how much she cannot stand liver and onions. And so the young man has a choice, right? Not only is he not going to order liver or onions, but he's not going to suggest that she order liver and onions herself, right? Because he wants it to go well. Well, why does he do that? Because she detests those things, right? It's detestable to her. If Israel is to have that same sense of abhorrence toward unclean things, they must begin to feel about things the way God feels about them, right? Amen? Making sense? So we're talking about loving God. Ultimately, Israel's love for God, that is at issue. And that translates over to the New Testament, our love for God. See, if God thinks something is unclean, if He abhors it, then I abhor it. I don't care if there's no reason for it at all. If God doesn't like it, I don't like it. I don't care if it isn't healthy to do it. I only care that God says that is what He hates and this is what He loves, and I'm going to do what He loves and attempt to avoid what He hates. Does that make sense? Yeah. Loving God, that is the motive for doing something, whether God's commands are arbitrary or not. Now, whether we can find out a reason for them or not, if God hates it, I hate it. If God loves it, I love it. Loving God is the key. Yes, yes? Well, guess what's next? If loving God is key one, then loving man is key two, right? Loving man. Two primary motivations that we ought to take note of, that the Old Testament saint also took note of. Loving man. As I look at my believing neighbor, and I know that he is weak in his faith, I know that I can eat that meat sacrificed to that idol, and I'm not going to skip a beat. But if I do eat that meat sacrificed to that idol, it may cause him to stumble. And so my love for my neighbor overcomes my love for food. My love for my neighbor says to me, don't you eat that meat. You let that meat go by, right? So what we do and what we don't do is basically rooted in loving God and our love for our fellow humans. Make sense? Yes? The Old Testament commandment is applicable in these New Testament times. Now, as we close it out, few things today are just as clear and simple as clean and unclean. Some days I wish it was that easy. I mean, don't you? I mean, when you came to a decision, when you come to have to make a choice, you could just say, well, it's clean or it's unclean, right? It's yes or it's no. It's evil or it's good. I sometimes wish life were that simple, but most often life is not that simple. But there is one issue in which it is just that categorical. Clean is a category, unclean is a category, good is a category, evil is a category. Right? Amen? So there is one place, one issue that is just that categorical when it comes to our relationship with God. When it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to the issue of where we will spend, where we will spend eternity, it is clear cut. It is a clearly defined issue. All of those who are in Christ are what the Bible calls saved. And their sins are forgiven. It's a category. All of those who are trusting in anything else, including their good works, including their own strength, including their finances or their talents or some kind of an ability, all those who are trusting in anything else, in that sense, they're lost. Amen? Yes? In that sense, our salvation is very clear cut. It's a yes or a no. It's an in or an out matter. All of those who trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ shed on their behalf are in. All of those who trust in anything else, they're out. It's a clean issue. We are either in Christ or we are not. That takes us through the end of Leviticus chapter 11. When we get going again on it on Sunday night, we're going to take a run at four chapters.
Oh,
four chapters. Sometimes I wish I was Church of Christ. I just spend all my time in the New Testament. But that ain't how it works. Amen. We got to take all the Word of God. Amen. The full counsel of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Good to have you with us online, folks. Pass those, whatever you pass around to get people to watch. Thank you for doing that. May the Word go out. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and saving us. And thank you, Lord, for your shed blood on Calvary's cross. Thank you we got to sing about the blood tonight. That was special. We praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, as we get ready to celebrate Palm Sunday and the Lord's Supper, and the following Sunday, we've got Resurrection Sunday on Easter coming up here in a couple weeks. Lord, we're just thankful for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all the family gathering and in the midst of all the eggs and the hunts and the candy and the dresses and the hats and everything going on, Lord, we pray that we not lose focus. We not lose focus on what it's really about. And that's your gospel, and that's the fact that you've shed your blood, take away the penalty of our sin. Thank you for all that you've done for us, how you've saved us and made a way for us. And Lord, may we continue to take your word out of these four walls and spread it along the highways and the byways for your glory and your honor, for the salvation of the lost. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Don't forget to pray for Miss Turner. Continue to intercede for her. Maybe if we just send a wave of prayer, that kid will get found this week. Amen? Amen.